on your way to your destiny, your enemies may let the dogs out on you. Yes, your enemies may open the gate and let the dogs out on you. What do you do when your enemies let the dogs out? Open your Bibles to Psalm 59 and we'll take a look in the book.
Welcome to A Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert, Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert bringing a series of messages out of the book of Psalms. So get close to your radio and have a Bible ready and turn to Psalms 58 as we take a look in the book.
Psalms 59. Psalms 59. Psalms 59. And I want to look at that Psalms this morning in its entirety. But I just want to read verse number 6. And verse number 14, and that'll be enough to get us started. David here is talking about his enemies, and he says in verse 6, they return at evening. They make a noise like a dog and go around about the city. Verse 14. And at evening, let them return and let them make a noise like a dog and go round about the city. I want to talk about when your enemy let the dogs out. When your enemy let the dogs out. You know what to do. High five somebody and tell them, Pastor, gonna talk about it. When your enemy let the dogs out. Are y'all gonna go with me this morning? I'm gonna have to go by myself. When your enemy let the dogs out. When Sister Wilbert and I first started dating, going to her house was a scary situation. I would drive up to her parents' house, and I would park the car, and I would get out and look at myself. I would be looking good and smelling good. And I started making my scroll there to the house. But all of a sudden, coming from around the house, was this big old Doberman, this big old dog. And so I immediately had to bag up and get on back in the car, and the dog had me arrested. I couldn't do anything. This was before the cell phone. So I couldn't call nobody or anything. And so what I had to do is just get on the horn and blow the horn and let them know somebody done drove up out there in the driveway. And they would come on the porch and they would see the dog and they would say, "He ain't no bite, you can get on out." But I couldn't get out. This dog had me, him, I didn't know this dog. Now, I wasn't gonna get out. Because I didn't know this dog and this dog didn't know me. We didn't have no relationship with each other. And so Sister Wilbur would have to come on from the porch and come there to the car, and she would have to escort me. The dog would be on her side, and I would be kind of eyeing the dog. And we would go on up to the house, and her little brother and her sister, they would be teasing me. And they would tease and be talking about how you scared of a dog. You scared of a dog. And be teasing Mary and say, Marion, you got a boyfriend that's scared of a dog. He's scared of a dog. And every week looked like we would repeat that same scenario. And I couldn't, you know, just jump out my car and just run to the house right quick, because it was the house was about 20 yards away, about from here to that front door there. And so I would have to wait for Sister Wilbur to come out. But as I would come in to the house and we would talk, and see, back in those days when you court, you had to court the whole family. Amen. And so I found out that Sister Wilbur's daddy was the Sunday school superintendent, and the mama just loved to study the Bible. And so we started having Bible study and started studying our Sunday school lesson. Every Saturday we would study the Sunday school lesson. And I knew I was making progress with the parents. When Daddy Barnes told Sister Wilbur, tell Tim, don't worry about the dog. We done tied the dog up. And so he can come on. Yeah. Yeah. See, you know you're welcome now when folks done start tying the dog up. Yeah. But if they ever start letting the dogs out on you, you're no longer welcome in that place. We've been studying the life of David, and David has been working around the palace for King Saul. And David done worked long enough now that he knows that he done wore out welcome. How do we know that? Because the Bible tells us when David was there at the dinner table, that Saul took a javelin and chunked it at him. And I believe, like a lot of historians says, a lot of historians and Bible scholars says, that Saul let the dogs out on David. And I believe that it's probably so, because a dog responds to the emotions of its master. And so if the master is angry with somebody, and that dog see the master is angry with that person, now that dog is going to start being angry with that person. And I believe that Saul had some dogs around the palace, because most kings had dogs around the palace. Most rich people had dogs around their property and stuff for guard dogs and stuff. And I believe that Saul started letting the dogs out on David. And as a result, David felt unwelcome there around the palace. Matter of fact, David quit going to work there at the palace. See, when folks them chunking javelins and spears at you, then you know it's time to start looking for you another job. You don't have to wait to get a pink slip on your job. If your boss starts throwing stuff at you and sicking the dogs out at you, it's time to start looking for something else. And so David had enough wisdom to know not to go to work. And so as a result, Saul started sending for David. Matter of fact, we find that out right there in our heading. It says in the heading, by the middle of the ways, it says, when Saul sent and they watched the house to kill him. See,
David didn't come to work. So Saul sent the men over there to get David. But David's wife started trying to help him out. And she would tell the men that David's sick. He's sick. But they started staying over there at the house, around the house. Until Saul told them to go and bring the whole bed. He's still sick. Just bring him the whole bed, and I'm going to kill him right there in the bed. So when the wife saw that they would not go away and how serious they was, she decided to sneak him out of the house through a window, and she put an image there in the bed. So when the fellas did come on into the house to arrest David, David was already gone, but there was an image in the bed. So David had escaped those men. And he wrote this Psalms to tell about it. And I want to look at this Psalms this morning. And I want to pick three things out from this psalm. Would that be all right? See, what do you do when your enemy done let the dogs out on you? Well, first, you pray for protection. Yeah, that's what you need to do. When they done let the dogs out on you, you need to be praying for protection. Look what David says here. In verses 1 through 10, you'll see it at your Bible. You got your Bible? Yes. I say, do you have your Bible? Yes. Amen. Look what it says in verse 1. He says, deliver me from mine enemies. Oh, my God. Defend me from them that rise up against me. See, when you got a relationship with God, then you can ask stuff from God. Did you notice that? Deliver me from mine enemies. Oh, my God. Not mama God or daddy God or sister God. You my God. When God is your God, then you can ask whatever you need. He says, defend me from them that rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity. Save me from bloody men. In other words, these ain't no Sunday school boys that's coming over here to get me. These ain't no rookies either. He said, these are bloody men. These guys are veterans in killing you. Verse 3, he says, for lo, they lie in wait for my soul. You know, when your work, our problems at work, done followed you home and they don't want to leave, you got problems. Did you hear what I say? When trouble at work done followed you home and don't want to leave, they camping out, the trouble is camping out at your house, man, you sure got problems. David say they lay in wait for my soul. The mighty are gathered against me, not for my transgression, not for my sin, O Lord. It ain't something that I done. You know, some folks can just hate you because they're jealous of you. It ain't nothing that you done. A lot of times we go home or go to our friend and we call up a sister and say, sister, why do so-and-so hate me so? Sister don't know. Folks them just hate you because they hate you. Don't be worrying yourself with the haters. If you know you ain't done nothing, that's on them. It ain't on you. Don't you be getting no ulcer just because somebody hates you. When you find out somebody hates you and they hating you for nothing that you done done, you just say, well, I'm going to pray for you then. You need a lot of prayer, sister. Let's go on a little bit further. David says, they run and prepare themselves without my fault. Awake to help me and behold. You know, trouble travels fast. And sometimes folks will trouble you and they don't even know why they troubling you. They just running with the crowd. That's what that text means. They run and prepare themselves without my fault. They don't really know why they coming. But they just know they going. He says, awake to help me and behold. Check it out, God. He telling God, get up and do something. Don't you be going to sleep on me. Hello, somebody. Don't you remember Jesus was in the boat with his disciples and he was asleep in the boat and the disciples told him, wake up. Don't you care that we perish? Hello, somebody. When you going through stuff, nobody have to ask you to pray. Notice. Did you notice how David is praying, deliver me. Defend me. Deliver me. Save me. Defend me. In other words, I can put sum it all up in one word. Help! That's all he's basically saying. Help, God! Help! 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 That's what he's saying. I need some help. See, a lot of y'all too cute when you pray. You're trying to be sophisticated when you pray. Quit trying to be sophisticated when you pray. And get right to the point. Don't be down there 3 or 4 minutes before you let the Lord know what you need. Get right to the point. That's what David did. He got right to the point. He says, verse 5, thou therefore, O Lord God of hosts. Notice the Lord God. Notice. Did you notice these words? How he called God different names? Oh, Lord. That's the covenant keeping God. Jehovah. God, Elohim, the all-powerful God. God of hosts. You in charge of all of the angels. You're running everything around him. The God of Israel. David is making it plain, ain't he? He's getting the right God on the line. You know you got them fake gods out there. He said, this the one that I want. I want this one. The God of Israel. Awake to visit all the heathen. Be not merciful to any wicked transgressor. Why? They return at evening. They make a noise like a dog and go round about the city. In other words, they meddling God. They out here making fun of me. They round the house there and they saying, roof, roof, roof. They laughing at me, Lord. They acting like dogs round there. They scratching like dogs, barking like dogs round my house. Verse 7. Behold, they belch out with their mouth and they full. They eating good. David can't even get out the house to go to the stove. But somebody else says, you need to go to the store. Think about it. You need to go to the market to get some food, but you can't go to the market to get no food. But the fellas that's outside your house, they out there eating so good, they belching. Oh. You hearing them belching out there. They having a belching party. Between they cursing and stuff, they belching. Is that in your Bible? They belch out with their mouth. Swords are in their lip. For who say they does hear. But thou, O Lord, shall laugh at them. Oh, I love that word, but. Oh, it was going one way, but now things finna turn around. Whenever you see that word but in scripture, things finna turn around. The enemy had the upper hand, but notice God done stepped in. It says, but thou, O Lord, shall laugh at them. Thou shall have all the heathen in derision. In other words, God is going to get the last laugh. I don't care what you're going through today. Let me just throw that in. God and his children are going to get the last laugh. You may be crying right now, but God and his children going to get the last laugh. And I like verse 9. David said, because of his strength will I wait upon thee. For God is my defense. Lord have mercy. Did you see that out of your Bible? He says, for God is my defense. In other words, God can stop some stuff from ever happening in my life. God is my defense. You know, we live in a world today that has substituted insurance companies for God. Yeah, insurance companies are good, but they are no substitute for God. Folks, now it's all excited. I'm covered now because I'm with State Farm, and like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. I'm all right now because I got Prudential, the piece of the rock. I'm all right now. I got Nationwide, and Nationwide is on my side. I'm all right now because I got some Allstate, and I'm in good hands now. But those insurance companies, and thank God for them, they are not, for the most part, defense, but they offense. They come after you done lost stuff. After the devil done came in and took your house. After the storm done blowed down stuff. After the rain, after the flood, after the car accident. After the house done burned down in a fire, then Nationwide show up and be on your side. After you done got into the hospital, then they are on your side. But you need somebody to stop things before they even start. You need somebody that can speak to a storm that's coming your way and make it go into another direction. You need somebody to stop the person from cutting you. Stop the person from shooting you. Stop the person from killing you. You need somebody to stop it before it ever gets started. You need somebody who can defend you. That's what you need. And that's what you have. When God is your defense. Yeah, Nationwide is good, but you trust in God. Yeah, State Farm is good, but I'm trusting in God. Prudential is good. I'm glad to have a piece of the rock. But with Jesus Christ, he is the rock. He's the rock of all ages. And we're going to have to learn how to get on our knees and start praying for protection. I know what a lot of folks say, well, I ain't trying to be like that.
If you would like a copy of the message you have just heard in its entirety, would you please call the church at 972-257-3766. Again, that is 972-257-3766. Or visit our new website at alookinthebook.com. Again, that is alookinthebook.com. And come on and worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at the exciting Bible Way Community Baptist Church. And until next time, let's take a look in the book.